are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Alongside Matt Wilhelm, I'm Dave DiNatale, filling in for Nathan Zagura as we get you ready for the Browns and the Buccaneers tomorrow night. Preseason game number 3 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You can watch the game tomorrow on News Channel 5. The man who will call it for you alongside Solomon Wilcots is our friend Mike Patrick. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. You know, we said it's preseason is always exciting because you're seeing the team for the first time, but tomorrow, the fact that now you really, it is the quote-unquote dress rehearsal, and you do get an idea, Mike, of things we can expect to see as we get closer and closer to the regular season.
Hopefully that is what we'll see. My concern is the number of guys who are hurt, who's going to play. There are several guys who are trying to make this team who have simply been unavailable through training camp in the first 2 preseason games. And there's only so much you can get out of somebody who hasn't been on the practice field and hasn't been able to play. You can only evaluate them so much, and they're guys who I think jobs are hanging by threads simply because they haven't been there. I'd like to see some of those guys on the field tomorrow night to see what they have to offer.
I believe so, too, as well, Mike. And one of those guys that I think the Cleveland market and any Browns fan is hoping to see is Terrell Pryor. He's a guy that has been constantly on the bubble since being acquired here this offseason by Ray Farmer to become a Cleveland Brown in that transition to the wide receiver position. What do you think Terrell Pryor has to do or show in this preseason game to kind of solidify his role of making this active 53 roster?
Oh, he's got to show he can put on his uniform and get on the field. if you're trying to change positions, and no matter how much physical talent he has, this is a different position, and people have played their whole lives to learn how to be a wide receiver. Now, granted, he has wonderful inherent talents with his size and his speed, but there's a lot more to wide receiver than there is that. And if you pull a hamstring every time you walk out on the field, you're not going to play wide receiver in this league. You're not going to play wide receiver in any league. He's got to be available. That is a talent the personnel directors talk about. Skill level, height, speed, availability. If you're hurt all the time, you don't do the team any good. And I would like to see if he can run the kind of patterns that they raved about early in camp when he had a chance to play for a couple of days, practice for a couple of days. He stands out. I mean, he is physically gifted. Can he stay healthy enough to have a chance to play? And there are a lot of guys on this team with hamstring injuries, and this is playing in Tampa is a hamstring waiting to happen unless guys have really had a lot of water, a lot of Gatorade the last 2 days, and get hydrated before the game, because you're going to start to get cramps in an environment like this.
Mike Patrick is our guest. Mike, another player that we expect to get a glimpse of for the first time is the rookie running back Duke Johnson. And similar things with him. He's got to be able to overcome, a bad hamstring. But the Browns, Mike, it seems like, hearing from Mike Pettine and hearing from John DeFilippo, they've really kind of looked forward to getting this guy back because they want to do a lot of their offense through him.
Absolutely. The running backs have to be a bigger part of the passing game this year. He is a talented receiver. I saw him several times in college. Not only can he catch the ball out of the backfield, but this kid can run. He's got a great burst. He's the kind of a home run hitter the Browns don't have, and every team wants to have. Somebody who can turn a 5-yard gain into a 50-yard touchdown. And Duke Johnson has those kind of skills. Unfortunately for him, he's been another one of those guys who's been hurt. But it's so hard for a rookie running back in training camp for the first time, because he's got to learn so many different pass protections, or you can't have him on the field, or you'll get your quarterback killed. He has got to be a skilled pass protector, as well as learning all the other things it takes to be a running back in this league. Hopefully the mental part of his game and studying the playbook He's been doing that in the time he hasn't been on the field. But, boy, this kid is you'll love the burst if you haven't seen him before.
You absolutely will, and he's an exciting player to watch. Mike, I'm going to shift over to the defense side of the football. We had a caller reach the show in earlier and just talk about how great it's going to be to see the defensive backs that most likely will start this football season, Joe Hayden, Tremont Williams, Tashawn Gibson, Dante Whitner, and even potentially maybe Kaywan Williams as the nickel corner. But
exactly.
We know how great they're going to be on the back end, but who do you look to emerge besides Paul Kruger in that front seven as a viable sack threat or a disruptor from a passing game standpoint in that front seven?
Well, they're hoping it's going to be Nate Orchard. I mean, obviously, he showed those kind of skills at Utah. He had 18 and a half sacks last year. He had a great showing at the Senior Bowl. That's why his draft stock went up, and that's why the Browns reached out and took him in the second round. He has the natural instincts and the natural gifts to be a pass rusher. So if he can be on the other side of Paul Kruger and show them that he can get to the passer and also learn to play more of a cover role when he's in there, if he's not rushing the passer, so he can make this squad and play special teams, then I think you've really got something in Orchard. And I think people are going to love Danny Shelton for the next 10, 12 years. The kid plays with such enthusiasm and such hustle for somebody who's 340 pounds. I mean, you don't see that out of too many guys running sideline to sideline trying to chase down a ball carrier.
And also with Danny Shelton, Mike, I think his personality and his, I guess, effervescence is the word I guess I would use. It's infectious, and it's easy, I think, for teammates to get behind a guy like that.
I agree 100%. It's pretty tough to take a play off when Danny Shelton is out there giving 100% and just seemingly enjoying every moment he has on a football field. I think the idea that he might play every down as a defender and give you a pass rush may be a little bit overblown. He has some pass rush skills, but he's going to be double-teamed every time he's on the field. I don't think in the NFL you're going to see him play 70 plays the way he did at the University of Washington. I mean, he was just a warrior in there. But he's going to play a lot. He's going to make a difference. He's going to make the linebackers better because he's going to swallow up the blockers in the middle of that offensive line.
Mike, the quarterback, of course, has been a very big topic this week with Johnny Manziel and the inability to throw at practice because of some elbow sorenesses.
Sure.
MRI has come back positive, showing no signs of damage. So they're going to shut him down for this week as well as potentially the Thursday night finale of the preseason game. For you personally, how concerned are you with the quarterback's position for the Cleveland Browns with the injury to Johnny Manziel, signing of Pat Delvin, and then the drop-off between Josh McCown and Thaddeus Lewis for the Browns?
Well, it's a problem only if Josh McCown doesn't do what a lot of people, including me, expect him to do. I think he is an established leader. He has never had the good fortune to play with a relatively good offensive football team. Now, there are a lot of ifs for the Browns on offense. If Hartline and Bowe still have something left in the tank, and I think Brian Hartline has already shown that he does, mm-hmm. If somebody else can step up as a wide receiver, if one of the tight ends steps up, maybe E.J. Bibbs, the rookie, to catch some passes, and if Duke Johnson can provide a spark to the running game, McCown is a very good short control passer. He's a leader. He's somebody this team will follow, but he needs skilled players around him, which has been a rarity in his career. And people love him as a human being. He is a really good guy. If he has any success, these people are going to be so happy for him on this ball club. They're going to love playing with Josh McCown. The offensive line, I think, is a given. It could be one of the best units in the NFL. And it's only going to get better when you add, a first-round draft choice to it, who's probably at this point not going to beat out Greco, but has already learned three or four positions and will be a great backup on the offensive line. I am probably a little more optimistic than a lot of guys about McCown simply because I want him to do well. I know that's not a great reason to be optimistic, but he is a terrific person. He has shown throughout his career when he's given just a minimum of talent, he's able to make something out of it.
Mike Patrick joining us. He'll be on the call for tomorrow night's Browns Buccaneers game on News Channel 5 next to Solomon Wilcots. Mike, on the flip side from Tampa Bay, when you look at Jameis Winston, and in fact, but you have Winston and Mariota, you have, again, these two rookies who are going to start right away. But right. In the realm of Winston, what do you see when you look at him?
Well, he's got, first, he has a great football mind. The playbook cannot be too big for him. He can absorb all this stuff. He almost has a kind of photographic memory for a football player, which really comes in handy for a quarterback when you have to know what everybody's doing. I saw him multiple times at Florida State. He is a willing leader. He has tremendous physical skills. People will follow him. He's going to be a great pro. Now, whether he does anything as a rookie with the rest of this woeful offense is doubtful. And the one concern you have for a rookie playing behind an offensive line that isn't very good and with a running game that's not very good, is he going to get beat up? And I think he probably will throughout most of this year. And Lovie Smith is a coach that has really never emphasized offense. He's a defensive guru. He has been everywhere he's been. But I think inherently, this kid has got everything that it takes, and I think he was a can't-miss pick.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch him against the Browns defense here tomorrow night. Mike, we really appreciate the time. Have a great call tomorrow with Solomon, and as always, we appreciate you joining us.
Oh, thanks, guys. Nice talking to you.
All right. Thank you. That is Mike Patrick again. Tomorrow night, News Channel 5, he will have the call, preseason game number 3 with Solomon Wilcots. And he's not as concerned as I think most fans are about the state of the Browns quarterback position.
Right. And again, I love and respect Mike Patrick. The one, you know, thing that pops up to me, just to be critical, is a nice guy doesn't mean you can play the game of football. Josh McCown is a great guy. He's, you know, sure. he and I have, you know, gotten, you know, become friends in the building in the last, you know, few months, and he's great. He's good to be around. Always has a smile on his face. Hard worker, all that stuff. But all that will go out the window if he doesn't play the quarterback position at a high level.
We're not counting on super 100% efficiency like you saw in week one. He can't make the turnovers like we saw last week.
Right. He can't. And I didn't hate the first one.
I didn't either.
No.
I didn't
either.
The catchable ball. The one to Barnage. I didn't hate that one either.
Catchable ball. He puts a mustard on it in a tight window. It was a bang-bang play, but bang-bang plays happen all the time. It's the second one, and Nathan talks about it. You know, if you're going to throw a jump ball, you don't throw a jump ball, you know, just out there to Andrew Hawkins or Taylor Gabriel. And he rewound him back to his days in Chicago. You throw him to Brandon Marshall, Nashville, and Jeffrey, you like your chances.
How many, by the way, we haven't seen, that was one of the few bombs we've seen so far in the preseason. You expect, you know, again, it being preseason game number 3, Flip might have a few more besides the bubble screens and short passes, maybe a couple of things that longer pass plays.
I agree. I do. I think that it's you know, some high lows with a shot down the field is what I'd love to see. Whether they throw them or not, that's the quarterback's decision based on, you know, who the receiver is, what coverage they're in. But I want to see the plays called, you know, and use that deep ball as an advantage to loosen up the defense. So that way you open up those intermediate routes, 12, 15, 17 yard chunk plays that Brian Hoyer was very good at last year. He really was. And I want to see that out of this offense, which we haven't yet.
All right. So Mike Patrick joining us. Now we will get a break here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More of your calls coming up, 216-578-0850, on Twitter at Browns_daily. What did you think from what you heard from Mike Patrick as we look ahead to tomorrow night? Scott Petrak will join us at the top of the hour from the Chronicle-Telegram. We'll also have the Friday forecast. We'll hear from Joe Hayden and a lot more as we continue. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.